go through a couple passages of scripture, which is what we are going to be talking about today. Oftentimes we come to church and we want to hear good preaching, right? But today I want to talk to you. So I want you to turn to 2 Timothy so we can have a conversation, as the Apostle Paul had a conversation with a young man. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we will begin reading with verse 3. Thank you for coming in today, and those who are listening, I pray that God is going to use his word to really share something really great in your life, no matter where you are. In that book, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, beginning with verse 3, Paul says, I thank God, and I'm reading from the NIV, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You may be seated. You probably may be thinking that, I come to church today and the pastor is not here and I'm just going to hear a message and within 15 minutes we're going to go home. It's not going to be so. Because if we love the Word of God, I think it is important for us to study it, to memorize it, and to allow it to really change our lives so that we can be an example of who Christ is, so that we can also represent him truthfully, faithfully, and wholeheartedly. You know, in this generation, we talk a lot about young people, especially young men. A lot of them find themselves involved in situations where they have to spend time away from their family, wherever they may be. A lot of them find themselves in prisons. And sometimes we really look at the situation and then we say, well, most of these young men came from single family homes or single parents where the father is not there and the mother is the only one who is responsible. And I know it is a very difficult challenge. But let me say to you that the Word of God has a lot to say about single parenting. And for those who are a woman who is a single parent, I believe that this message here is going to encourage your heart. Because you can do it, you can raise your kids with the help of God so that they don't turn out to be one of those who can spend time behind bars. The Apostle Paul had a very deep affection with this young man named Timothy. In fact, we know that the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. But he also lived a life that not only encouraged people, but for this young man who were brought up into a family home where the gospel of Jesus Christ was being proclaimed, we know that Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. But we do not know, or the Bible does not say much about his father, but has a lot to say about his mother. So this morning, I want you to really focus a little bit about how a mother and a grandmother raised a young man, and he turned out to be a pillar in a church. If you look with me in verse 3, I don't have a topic for you, but as I said, we are going to have a conversation about these verses. And I want you to really follow me and the direction in which that the Spirit of God is leading me so that you can glean from these scriptures some things that will not only encourage your heart if you are a single mother, but something that will motivate you to become a mother in which God can use you to raise your child, whether it is a boy or a girl, to become a pillar in our community. Notice what it says here. I thank God whom I served, and Paul speaking to that young man, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly reminded or remember you in my prayers. That tells me that the Apostle Paul was really, really thinking about this young man. He had a very deep affection for him. And so it is that you and I, as adults, I wouldn't say as old people, as adults, we have an opportunity to really have an impact in the lives of our children. And first of all, we are looking at the family structure of Timothy. He was raised with godly parents. The family structure, godly parents. Notice he says that recalling your tears. Now, it's apparent that Timothy, of course, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, because we are Christians, you know, we're not going to get sick. Oh, by the way, COVID is back. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. If you don't wear a mask, the likelihood you will catch it. And when you do, guess what? Don't pray to God first. You pray to God first, but don't say, well, you know, well, God loves me and, you know, I'm not going to get COVID. When you get it, don't ask God to heal you of COVID, but treat it before you ask him to heal you. Oftentimes we get sick and, you know, the first thing we want to do, God, you know, heal me. But sometimes that is not really what God wants to do. He wants us to understand that we need to be able to treat this disease so that we can get better. By the way, I have been really speaking to the older, I would say, on Tuesday mornings about healing. And one of the interesting things about healing is that you and I must understand that God does not always heal people. Sometimes he wants us to go through things so that he can literally develop us. He can make us strong. And if it is his will, then he can heal us. But most importantly, that word healing has to do with really getting treatment. And one of the interesting things that I've read in scripture is that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts was written by a physician. And not once in this book, in those two books that I see, Luke talks about the fact that he was healing people. He talks about Jesus doing it, and he was a physician. So which helps me to understand that it is important for us to know that when we are sick, we need to get treatment. Because God is going to use that treatment to bring about his glory in our lives, to bring about something that will literally help us grow and develop to become who he wants us to be. So going back to the passage here, he says, recalling your tears. So Timothy must have been a little bit sick. In fact, if you continue to read, he also talks about the fact that, you know, Timothy, you need to drink a little wine, I think, for your stomach, because I don't know what it is that he must have been going through. He must have been going through some things, right? All of us go through something, right? But he must have been a little bit sick. But he says this, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And you know, the Apostle Paul really had the gift of healing folks. And I beg to ask the question, well, if Timothy was sick, why did he not heal him? Because he had the power. He was an apostle. He had the power to heal him. But he was sick. So that tells you and me, it's not every time that, you know, you're sick or someone is sick that God is going to heal that person. Not every time. Because, again, he can use that to transform you to become the person that you need to become. Because if he heals you, then, again, I mean, you probably may go out and do something totally different. But here's the thing. God knows what is best for us. Now, as we continue to read this passage, he says, Paul said to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in whom? Your grandmother. The family structure. Your grandmother. So if you, again, is a single parent, don't be discouraged. Because the Bible is clear about how God can use you as a grandmother and as a mother to raise young children to know the Lord. And let me take this opportunity to say to you, do not stay home and send your children to Sunday school. Because Sunday school is just as important for you as it is for the children. In fact, if you don't come, how are you going to learn? How are you going to teach them? Because here the Bible says that I'm reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother. This is practice. And in your mother. And I'm persuaded now that he lives in you also. Bringing up children. Remember Proverbs? Parents, you train your child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, one time as I was reading that scripture, you know, it dawned on me that, you know, it's not, even though that you train your child, does not necessarily mean that that child is not going to kind of deviate from the word of God. But here's what you and I need to do. We need to constantly be praying for that child. And by the way, let me also take this opportunity. Parents, do you pray for your children? Do you bless your children? Because they need your blessing. You don't remember Abraham? He blessed his children. Instead of saying something that, you know, maybe they are engaged in something that is totally different than what you've taught them, bless them anyway. Because in blessing them, the Lord can hear you and change or create a situation in his or her life that will change that child. Remember, we again talked about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God hears your cry. He hears your prayers. And he heard the prayers of the grandmother. He heard the prayers of the mother. But here is a man who had such great affection for this young man. And he saw that, you know, all throughout the journey that he went throughout Asia, this young man accompanied him. This young man chose to follow the ways of the Lord. And as a result, the Apostle Paul, even in his last days, was encouraging him by telling him, look, I am about to leave this earth and I want to pass on that legacy. Your legacy, my legacy, has a lot to do with how we treat our children. Our children is going to learn from us the things that they see. Even though sometimes they may not say anything, but they are learning. And we see that very clearly in this passage where it says that, you know, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your mother, your grandmother, and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now. If Paul is persuaded that this same life that he, Timothy, lived and learned from his parents is now is being demonstrated in him as a young man, then we need to be able to tell our young men, our young girls, we need to tell them that they need to trust God. You know, we sometimes in our Bible study on Mondays, you know, it gets a little bit uncomfortable when people talk about the idea of abortion, right? And a lot of people get, you know, they don't talk about it for the simple reason that, you know, they have certain views about it. But one of the interesting things that we are discovering is that some people say, well, it is wrong. Some people say that, well, it is the woman's right to choose. But let me just share with you one simple fact. If you and I believe that it is wrong and that we come across a young lady who is pregnant, then therefore it is our responsibility, if we know that it is wrong, then we need to be able to try to offer some help to that young lady. Amen. Because if we don't, and the lady went ahead and really aborted the child, then therefore we cannot say that we don't believe in it because we didn't try to even intervene and contribute to it. And in this sense, God has given you and I an opportunity to intervene in the lives of people that would literally make a change. And it will change their lives for the better. So listen to this. Paul says, for this reason in verse 6, I remind you to do what? To fan into the flames the gift of God. When God gives you and I a spiritual gift, it is not for us to really boast about it. It is for us to use it to benefit others. And let me tell you why. Because remember, Timothy was very timid. Very timid. And he had a gift, but yet he was not really, you know, because he was so timid, he didn't really think that he had the energy to really use that gift. Now, oftentimes, God has given you and I gifts. And by the way, you need to know what is the gift that God has given to you. Some of you are gifted. And it is important for us to know what that gift is. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, when it talks about, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2, he says, but be not conformed to this world, But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And how do you renew your mind? That you train your mind to think. We don't tell our children, you know, when they have a telephone, when they have a phone, how to use it. We give it to them, and we don't tell them how to use it, right? And then when they begin to look at things that are really out of the ordinary, then we say, well, you shouldn't be looking at those things. If you look very closely in Romans 12 and verse 2, he says that by the mercies of God, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? You may test, prove. Test what is the good and perfect will of God. So which means that if they have a cell phone, you and I as parents need to be able to sit with them and to have a conversation as to what they need to be looking at on that phone. Because if you don't, if you neglect it, then they're going to be, especially now, I mean, they have access to everything that is on the phone. And let me tell you, it will train their minds. Their minds will be captivated by things that are just not right, not godly. So you and I must intervene. But Paul is telling Timothy to, you know, kind of fan the flame. And what he is actually telling him is to rekindle that gift that you have. I want you to use it. Use it for God's glory. You have a gift. You have a gift. Know what that gift is, because the gift that God has given to you is not for you to use personally in a way in which that would literally gratify yourself, but that would literally create or have an impact in the life of someone else. Think about it for a second. If we do not or cannot impact the lives of those we come in contact with in a positive way, in a godly way, just look at how crazy this world is. We sit back, right? We say nothing. And when things happen, guess what? We begin to complain. So what are you complaining about? You're sitting down and you're allowing things to happen, and then, you know, you're not responding in a positive way, or rather in a godly way. So you don't have anything to say about it. At what point are we supposed to do something? You see, God has given you and I a gift. And Paul is reminding Timothy that you have a gift and you need to be able to rekindle that gift. You and I, when we come to church, or come to this building. I like using the word church in this way. When we come to this building, because you are part of the church. God has given you and I as members of the church to participate. Because the gift that he has given to us is for the edification of the church, so that we can grow with each other. That's why we must have a conversation with each other. There is so much to talk about. The Bible has 66 books. There are so many things to talk about. But yet sometimes we choose to pick up the phone and to talk about something else, especially now that we have the political climate right now is brutal. I mean, it is brutal. But again, God's will be done. God's will must be done. Now, Paul had to kind of lay his hands on this young man. And I believe that, you know, you and I as parents, we need to be able to lay hands on our kids. And I don't mean spanking them like that, you know. Sometimes you have to spank them too. Right? Boy, I remember when I was growing up, Lord Jesus. I mean, every 20 minutes, they had to spank me. And the more my mom used to spank me, guess what? The worse I get. But at some point I said, you know what? I don't want to be spanked anymore. So I have to behave myself. So what did I do? I start listening. And so it is with all of our children. At some point in time, they have to make that determination. You know, instead of what's happening to me, instead of what I'm doing, look what, I have to listen. And by the way, God has given each of us an opportunity. That idea of listening, it is very hard, you know, but it becomes very easily. And how it becomes easy? When we accept Christ as Savior, when we offer the salvation that he offers, it becomes very easy because the Holy Spirit now has come into us and that we are able to really communicate with God through him, speak with him, because he's a person speaking to us. So you see how our young people, we can tell them that in all the things that they are trying, all of the things that they're experiencing, they can try Christ. Because the Bible talks about the gospel. And what is the gospel? Towards the end of this message, we'll kind of give an invitation really to let you know that whoever is listening, whoever is in there who have not yet accepted Christ, an opportunity to come forward and trust Christ as Savior. We sometimes think that, you know, everybody who comes to church are saved, and that is not true. And we also believe, as the pastor always reminds us, that when someone comes forward, whether it is for prayer or to join a church or to accept Christ as Savior, and we vote, he always reminds us what we are voting for, right? We are voting to do what? To really impact or to help that person grow. And I hope that when we meet that person out there at the grocery store, we don't pass them and just don't say hi. Because if not, our vote didn't mean much. We need to influence our young people. But then Paul says that, you know, after he lays hands on them, I mean, he says, look, listen, for God has not given us us, the spirit of, some would say, fear or being timid. He has not given us that spirit. You know, we have a human spirit, right? But that is not the spirit that he's talking about. That human spirit that we have, sometimes, you know, it kind of gravitate towards things that are just not godly. But it is only when you and I accept Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, the Hebrews tells us that he that have not the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Oh, we say that all of us are God's children. That's not true, because the Bible says not all of us are God's children. If you believe that, you need to read the scripture again. He says, he that have not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. So how do you and I receive the Spirit of Christ? Or how does someone receive the Spirit of Christ? By trusting Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. When you do that, what will happen is that if you do it sincerely, the Spirit of God comes into your life and take residence permanently. And that there are those who say, well, when the Spirit comes, that, you know, if you misbehave, then the Spirit leaves you. No, when you sincerely believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you are saved, and you are saved until the day of redemption. You see, justification, as I've always defined it this way, is a declarative act of God's grace by which he judicially set the sinner free from the guilt and consequences of sin. When God forgives you, you are forgiven. So that spirit he's talking about, he says, Paul says that God did not give us the spirit that makes you and I timid. But guess what he says? He says that spirit gives us what? He gives us power. Now, there are a few words in the Greek that actually talks about power, right? So when we see we read in the scripture where Jesus calmed the storms, right? That's power. That's control. He controlled it, right? But that is not the power that he's really talking about here. Is that that's the word that dunamis is not that power to control stuff. But he says that God has given you that might. For God has not given us the spirit to be timid, but to be strong, to get that energy from Christ so that we can be bold in presenting him to other people. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul who says in Romans chapter 1 that for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power. And that power here, of course, is when God comes into your life. Again, it is different. When God comes into your life, that power is Christ taking over. When you submit to him, he taking over your life and control your life to the extent that everything that you do is going to honor him. But here he says that this spirit, God has not given us that spirit to make us timid, but has given us power so that we can literally use the energy that God has given to us for his glory. I mean, if you go to a football game and your son is playing and he scored a touchdown, Lord Jesus, you're going to exert a lot of energy by literally shouting. I think the whole stadium will hear you, right? In the very same way, when you are presenting, you and I are supposed to be so excited about God so that when God, Christ comes into our life, it's like it's a touchdown. You know, we need to be so excited so that we can tell people. They can hear us. Oh, don't mumble. Then we need to tell them. Because the Bible commanded us, go out into the world and do what? And tell people about him. We don't want to keep him for ourselves. We want to be able to share Christ. Because that is a mission that he has given to us. And Paul wanted Timothy to understand this. That spirit gives us power, but we must rely upon him. We must open our hearts and our lives to him so that he can literally control and direct our lives. Young men, young women, if you and I allow God to control our lives, he will direct us in a way in which that we can have an impact in the lives of others. Just think about it. Because, you know, we read a few minutes ago that the Timothy's grandmother, Timothy's mother, had such a great influence, impact on his life. And we are seeing witnesses of that. The Apostle Paul is saying to him that, hey, look, I want you to join me. I want to pass on that mantle to you because you are an example of one who can deliver. We don't just want you to just say things. Oftentimes, we just say things, right? We can say a whole lot of things. But we need to start our actions. We need to start doing stuff. We can tell people about Christ every day of our lives. But if they don't see in our own lives that God is first and that God is working, guess what? We just talking. And I wouldn't say that talk is cheap because you can't buy it. Because, you know, once you have your tongue, you can speak anyway. It's free. But living a life in which God can literally create and have an impact in your life so that you can have an impact in the life of your children or even not even your children, other people as well. That's why he has given us gifts. And in fact, the whole book, Corinthians, talks about the fact that, you know, God has given so many different spiritual gifts, and why he gives them is for the edification of the church. So that we can build each other up. So God has given us this power, this energy. So what do we do with it? But he also says that God has given us that love as well. You know, in the scripture, it says that love must be sincere. I don't know. Sometimes I remember when I used to go to college, I used to walk in the hallway, and then all of a sudden I would meet someone, and that they would kind of give me that fake smile. And I didn't know how to interpret it, whether they were genuine or not. I don't think they were. Okay, you don't give nobody no fake smile and expect them to smile at you back. But you have to be genuine in the things that you do. You have to be serious about it. He says that, you know, that power. John tells us that, beloved, let us do what? Let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone that loveth does what? Knoweth God, for God is love. So we can love each other because God has given us the power to love each other. Don't say we can't. Yes, you can, because, you know, if you want to do it on your own, it's not going to work. It is only God who can help us love other people. Then he also says, a sound mind. You know, that Spirit of God that he has given to us, when we walk in obedience to him, he is the one that could help us be disciplined in our action. That's the word for it, discipline. If you and I want to be disciplined, if we want to teach our children how to be or how to live a disciplinary life, is that we need to tell them they need to trust God, they need to accept Christ. They need to allow the Spirit of God to do what? To control their lives so that they can be disciplined. I dare anyone who tells me that God cannot change a person. Yes, he can. He changed the Apostle Paul. That Saul was destroying the church. In fact, he admitted to it. He says, I was the chief among sinners. Can God change the situation in your life or in the child's life? Yes, he can. But you need to encourage them. You need to tell them that they need to try him and trust him. Because he can make that difference. Because again, that spirit that God has given, that he imparted onto us, is the one that we need to rely on. In fact, if you read the Gospel of John, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, it tells that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? His ministry. He will guide you into what? Into all truth. And guiding you into all truth means that he is going to encourage us to live a life of discipline, self-control, so we are not so quick to get angry. And by the way, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Yet some of us sin before we even get angry. How do you do it? Because the flesh act up before you think about the spirit, right? But when you are being controlled by that spirit, when you say that, oh, let me stop for a second. Let me see how God wants me to deal with this situation or this challenge. Then you look at it from a very different perspective. And so it is that we can literally share with our young men, share with our young ladies, that we need to give God a chance in our lives. Because when we do, he will make the changes in our lives that is necessary for spiritual growth. You know, one of the things that I had an outline like most preachers do. And I say, you know what? Man, I'd rather have a conversation. Because these days people don't talk anymore. They don't want to. They say, can I have a conversation with you? No, I don't want to. But we need to have a conversation with each other. We need to have a conversation about the scripture. Because herein lies what is going to change your life. Here is what's going to literally change the dynamic of not only this congregation, but all of the church. And we cannot remain silent. And again, as parents, we have a divine mandate to be able to raise our children and to tell them that, hey, look, you need to try Jesus. I mean, just look around us. This church, I believe, or this congregation, this local church, we need to be going out there and to be telling these young men and to invite them to come. Because they're not just going to follow you. You need to invite them. And in the very same way that I mentioned, that, you know, if you don't get up, when you get up in the morning, you don't send your kids to Sunday school and then you stay home and eat breakfast. You take them with you. In fact, the song says, take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Well, you take your children with you to Sunday school. Study the Word of God. In fact, Paul reminds Timothy to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And finally, let me just say this to you. Oftentimes, we tell people, you know, like, you know, how do we understand how God is speaking to us? We need to read the Scriptures. We need to study the Scriptures. Because if you don't read it, guess what? You think the Holy Spirit is just going to come and just tell you, well, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. No, you need to read the Scriptures. So which means that one of his ministry is to remind you when a situation occurs in your life, guess what? He'll remind you of the things that you've read, and therefore you'll be able to kind of go back into the Scriptures and say, this is what God said, and this is how I'm going to act. That blueprint, it gives you that blueprint. So study it. Let the Spirit of God guide you. Let the Spirit of God control your life. And most importantly, help our children. They are crying. They are crying. They are appealing to you for help. In fact, they don't come directly to you and tell you, but the situations that they're involved in tells you that they are appealing to you, they are begging you for help. And we who have the Holy Spirit, we need to be able to render that help by going to them and invite them and to let them know that Christ can make a difference in our lives. So when we leave here today, remember, you can have a tremendous impact in the life of someone. Just share Christ with them. When you do, you will see the difference that God can make in your life. God bless you. Amen. So, for those of us, those who have been listening, we always give an invitation. Remember the gospel that we are talking about? The death, burial, and resurrection. God, if he has been speaking to you, he wants you now to make a decision. And the decision that you need to make is to trust him. Open your heart to him. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. Believe that Jesus rose again. And as a result, guess what? He can save you. Please, Brother Kyrie, could you give us a song? Is there one today? Maybe you're a parent. Sometimes we feel so comfortable, you know, we don't want to make that kind of decision. God may be saying to you, you know what? I have not been the parent that I need to be, but I need to do that right now. He wants you to come. Let us all stand.
Somebody is knocking at your door. Somebody don't you answer? Somebody is knocking at your door. It knocks just like Jesus at your door.
Thank you for listening. I believe that God has a message for each and every one of us. It may be just one thing that was said today that might encourage you. Please, unless you and I exercise it, it will not have any effect on the lives of someone else. So before you go, one of the things we do is that, you know, you leave your tithes and offering as you are living. As you are living this church, this sanctuary, we want to pray and ask God to help us, especially in this climate that we are in. Pray that God would enable us, no matter what political persuasion that you support, pray that God will lead us to be participants in service to Him and Him alone. Let us pray. Father, this morning we are so grateful, so thankful that you have given us an example of a young man. You have showed us the example of his mother and his grandmother, and that we cannot only rely upon ourselves, but we must rely upon you to guide us, to teach us, to direct us, and to make us, oh God, the people that you want us to be. So we thank you for this opportunity. And we ask that you help us to go out there and to tell someone about how good and how great and what an impact Jesus can make in his or her life. So we thank you. So we ask, oh God, a special blessing upon this offering, that there are those who were listening and that they could not have heard the gospel any other way. So we thank you and we ask that you bless this offering so that others may have the opportunity to hear your word proclaimed, so that their lives may be changed. Bless it so that your kingdom here on earth may be glorified. Now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen.